Father, we do thank you that tonight we can look to you and we're confident that you're good to us, that you are a good God. You are good to us all the time. We thank you, Father God, for your goodness that prevails in the time of need, in the times of difficulty. No matter what we're going through, one thing we can be confident of is that you are good to us. Father, we thank you. We lift up grateful hands, thanking you right now for your goodness in the name of Jesus. We give you the glory and praise. Thank you, Father. Come on, just express your thanksgiving and your gratitude to God for his goodness in your life. Father, we praise you and magnify you. Bless your name, Lord. Thank you, Father God, that you are good to us. 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 Hallelujah. No matter what happens, you're good to us. Hallelujah. We thank you, Father. We rest in your goodness, Lord. We press into your goodness, Lord God. We thank you, Father God, tonight as we look into your word, that it will be a good word. You always have a good word. We thank you, Father God, that you're moving by your Spirit and working good things in our lives. We thank you for that tonight in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father God, that when Jesus went on the cross, he accomplished good things for us. Hallelujah. Good things. Put us into a better covenant with better promises, making things good for us. We thank you, Father God, that you're doing a good work. You who have begun a good work in us will continue it until the day of the Lord Jesus. Thank you for it, Father. We worship you in Jesus' name. Thank you now, Father, for granting us hearing ears, minds that are open, hearts that are that are receptive to your truth. We thank you, Father God, now as we look into your word, that you would grant us understanding and revelation in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, turn around, look at somebody, wave at them a little bit, and you can be seated. It's so good to see all of you. Welcome those of you that are watching online. We're so glad here. I'm looking here. I've been watching the Facebook live feed and watching some of your checking in and comments, some of your church members, some from other states and some from other countries that have been checking in. And so it's, you know, great to see everybody here tonight. But you know what? You're here tonight. You need to recognize we're connected to the body of Christ. And it's a wonderful tool that we have of technology that can connect us around the world. And just see right there, somebody from Belize, somebody from Austria, some places. You know, it's thing. You just don't think about it every day, do you? About people over there and how closely we can be connected because of the technology that we have. And so one of the things that I'm glad about is the progress we're making through this whole time of pandemic and, moving forward, making progress in that. I just had an email from my bank today. Said, we're going to open the lobby tomorrow. So, hey, I'm all for that, you know, using the drive-through, but it's good, isn't it? Amen. I mean, I'm just rejoicing in every little sign of progress, you know, and just thanking God to have his way. And we just declare the enemy's bound. Cannot keep us bound. Cannot keep God's people from coming together to serve God. And we pray for those states that aren't as far along as what we are, that their situations would change so that they're able to worship God together. Amen. I'm going to share something tonight that as we were, dealing with this pandemic and everything, that I felt like the Lord just helped me with it. And, it's just one of those words that I just kind of started writing it down. I didn't really know it was a message when I started, but turned out to be one. And so I want to share that with you tonight, and hopefully it will help you, some insights. And we're going to go to Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. We're going to begin with that and read down through the end of the chapter. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. And it says, therefore I say to you, do not worry. Say that with me. Do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body or what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? And so why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry. Say that with me, if you would. Therefore, do not worry. Those of you that are watching online, you can type it into your comments. Do not worry. And that way we know and everybody knows that you're connecting with the message tonight. And it says, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. And then verse 34, therefore do not worry. Let's say it again. Do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. And so these verses, as we read them, describes a lot of how the world operates. They're concerned about a lot of things and worry about a lot of things. Worry is common with people that don't know the Lord. And these verses also describe a sharp contrast between how the world lives typically and how Christians are to live. Christians, the Bible says, don't worry. Now, if I didn't have the Word of God, if I didn't have a good Heavenly Father, if I didn't have assurance that God's working on my behalf, I'll tell you the truth, there's plenty of reason in this world to be worried. But we got some other reasons that help us not to worry. Amen? And so, worry is mentioned, the word worry is mentioned, or worrying, is mentioned 6 times in these verses. And the word worry, let's put that one slide up, that first slide up, if you would, please. And the word worry, the dictionary.com defines it this way: to torment oneself or suffer disturbing thoughts, be fretful, uneasy, or anxious. And so that describes the frame of mind that people are in when they're worrying. It's not just being concerned about something. It's not just being watching over something to make sure something's okay, or to work out something, paying close attention to details to make sure that everything's is in its place and all of that. No, this goes far beyond that. This goes into disturbing thoughts that torment people and causes them to suffer mentally in their mind, and so they end up anxious, they end up fretful, they're uneasy, and so that's what worrying does. The people of the world, next slide please, if you would, the people of the world, they worry about having enough, because maybe they haven't read the promises of God like we have. No need to worry for us on that account. The Bible says that he gives us life and what? It more abundantly. Isn't that correct? And then he goes on and says, worries, the world worries about material things, what they're going to eat, what they're going to shelter, where they're going to live, their job, their transportation, all of that, even the basic needs of life. People worry about that. And again, we got the promises of God. You know what I'm saying? We might go through difficult times, but there is an assurance from the Word of God that tells us that He's working on our behalf and He's going to make everything okay. Amen? Can you give a big amen on that? And then finally, worries. The world worries about the future. They're afraid of what's going to happen. They're afraid of another wave of sickness, or they're concerned about an economic collapse. You know, every once in a while I read a book title. I've never read any of them, of those books. What to do in the coming economic collapse. I haven't read any of those because I, you know, one of them's, you know, it always tickles me about the world. You know, they want to give you the latest advice and everything. And I remember this one book. I saw the title, All You Ever Need to Know About Investment. And then in fine print, it said revised and updated. So they changed it. I just bust out laughing when I saw that. I didn't read that one either. But anyway, it was just funny. But, you know, the world worries about the future. But, you know, you and I don't have to, because we know that God knows what's in the future and He knows how to guide us and direct us and take care of us. Isn't that right? And so as we look at this, all the questions, all the issues that are raised in these verses, these are legitimate needs. What we eat, what we drink, the clothes we wear, the place we live, the jobs we have, the material things are absolutely legitimate concerns, aren't they? But it doesn't mean that you and I are to get disturbed about these things, to allow the enemy to torment our minds about these things. Because here's what it says in verse 32, "For your heavenly Father knows you need all these things." He's not against you having these things. He's not causing the lack of these things. He's not saying, "Okay, I'm going to send you through some difficulties just to, you know, I'm just going to teach you that to, you know, some things through that." No, my friend, listen to me. I'm going to tell you this. The enemy comes along. He's the one that steals, kills, and destroys. He's the one that wants to squeeze you down into where you have nothing, where you can't enjoy life, where you wish you could do this, but you can't because you don't have what it takes to do that. You want to go someplace and be a blessing, but you can't because of sickness or disease. But listen to me. The enemy would love to squeeze you into that. And I want to tell you something. One of the ways that he attacks us first, even before symptoms come, many cases, or other stuff happens, is through our mind. He attacks our mind. He brings in thoughts that begin kind of slow. He kind of eases in. You know, if he brought a big one in that just got our attention, how sly the enemy is. You know, he just slides in something that's just a little bit kind of a quiet thing, and all of a sudden it's almost hardly noticeable sometimes when he first starts. And so then we don't do anything about that. We don't stand against that. We don't correct it because we hardly notice it. And then next time it's a little bit more and a little bit more and a little bit more, and all of a sudden we wake up and we got stuff going on in our minds that we did not want to have there. Anybody ever been there? Come on now. I just didn't think I was the only one. Amen. And so we need to recognize then. Listen, one of the comforts we have is this. Our Heavenly Father knows that we need these things. That also means this. He's not against us having those things. Can you say amen? Come on. Hallelujah. Amen. So now I look around, and here's the question that came to me. If my Heavenly Father knows that I need these things, then what's happening? I mean, what's going on with all the stuff that's going on? We need these things, don't you know? He said, you said you know. Well, you see, let's keep reading. You can't just take one statement, isolate it, and then blame God if it doesn't happen that way. Let's take the rest of what the scripture says in there and let's look at it. Look at the very next verse, because Matthew 6:33 gives us specific directions on how to live. Come on now. And so it says here, but seek first, everybody say seek first, the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. All these things shall be added to you. Now, one of the things I noticed is this. These things shall be added to you seems to be in direct proportion to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. In other words, that's the condition that you and I need to for us. If we meet that condition, then things flow into our lives. These things will be added to us. And it seems that as we seek God first and his kingdom and his righteousness, it seems that opens the door, so to speak, for God to move in our lives to bring forth those things that we have need of.
How many of you ever played hide and seek?
Well, most of us have. And I would say it this way. One thing I noticed about the different people that are it, you know, when we're playing hide and seek, some seek really hard and some don't seek very much. Nevertheless, they're seeking. You can't say they're not seeking, that they're not looking, but there are, my point is there's various degrees of seeking. Come on now. And so what does this Greek word mean in the Greek? I'm just going to bring something out here that just really caused me, it kind of stopped me in my tracks, and I thought, whoa, I need to go to another level in this. The word seek is translated from the Greek word zeteo, and it means literally from Strong's Concordance, and you can put up the that slide, it means to worship or to plot. What does that mean? Meaning this, that we are to, the idea of seeking God, first of all, includes worshiping him. You know, coming to God, worshiping him, focusing in on him. And then here's the other idea, the word plot. How would that, you know, you could, you know, plot could be a negative thing, plotting against somebody, but plotting positively would be like, you know, let's put it this way. A plot is necessary in order to write a book, to win a game. You know, the coach has to plot the game plan. How about, you know, a businessman has to plot a course for his business to be profitable. And so what do? They take their thoughts, their mind, they guide it towards that which they desire. And so we plot in this way with our mind, and that is we take our thoughts and we come to God and we begin to think the thoughts of God that are found in the Word, and we begin to think that way. We begin to plot, meaning we work through a plan of thinking this. Okay, if the enemy comes this way, I'm going to have this word. If he comes this way, I'm going to be ready with this word. If he comes over here, I'm going to be ready with this word. I'm getting my mind ready so that I can think the right way. And so plotting is some part of seeking. I'm going to worship God, but I'm also going to plot my way through life with thinking the thoughts of God. Another thing that I found in this word seek, the Thayer's Greek lexicon said it this way. It means the idea of meditating, meaning turning over in your mind
the possibilities that God has for us. The things that could happen if we stand upon the promises of God. And as we begin to spend time meditating on what the promises of God say rather than worrying. Amen. It's going to help us. We're going to be seeking God. And so another thing, now this is an interesting one. This last one, it means to crave. Now, I don't know. There are a lot of things that I would seek after. I mean, hey, but I don't know if I'd really crave it. You know what I'm saying? There are a number of things that I would like to have, but I'm not going to crave it to the extent that I'm going to go after or make effort to go get it. But this word right here gives this idea of craving until we make effort to go after. You know what I'm saying? And so here's the thing. We need to crave after God until we get up off the couch and get up off of out of our comfort zone, and we go into the presence of God and seek His face, to hear His voice, and to begin to commune with Him and fellowship with Him, so that we can come into an understanding of the things that God has for us. Seeking God is not just a little prayer in the morning, although you're probably ahead of the vast majority of people in this nation if you pray in the mornings. Okay? But I'm going to tell you, listen, there is more to be had than just a prayer in the morning. There is time that we can spend. Now listen, here's what I do. You do what you need to do. If you got time that you can spend hour after hour with God, that's great. You know what I'm saying? But I catch the moments. I catch the minutes. I catch the in-between times. I catch, you know, when you have to go to work, what do? Well, you know, you can go to work, you know, paying attention to the traffic, of course, and keeping your hands on the steering wheel, of course. But you can seek God. Amen. And you can have a heart after God. You can hunger and thirst after righteousness even while you're driving to work. Amen? And so throughout the day, if you learn that wherever you can, a moment here and a moment there, a time slot here, listen to me. I'm going to tell you something. Crave after God's presence, after hearing God, after just... You know, I don't know about you, but I've been in times when I have really not gotten it done right. Now, I know that's going to just shock most of you, but there's times when I didn't, you know, and I didn't get it right. But I'll tell you what I've always done is that every time when I realize I didn't get it done right, I can tell you what I've always done. I ran to God. I did not run away. And one of the things that I can tell you, there's been times when I didn't get it right, and it would have been deserved to have some kind of punishment meted out or something of that nature, you know, or at least a stern word from God, you know, just, you better straighten it up, son. But one of the things that has happened to me time and again in coming in to seeking God and say, God, here I am. It's me again. You know, one of the things that I've had happen so many times that's just lifted me up and helped me so much, and that soft, compassionate voice. And it's just, if he put his arm around me and he said, son, I love you. And I can tell you that that's caused me to run to Him more and more and more. Now, I can tell you also, I have heard the stern voice of God. And those were the times when I wasn't paying attention. And finally, He did get stern just to get my attention. Amen? But I'm just telling you, when you come, don't be afraid to seek God. Don't be afraid to get into the presence of God. Maybe you didn't do it perfectly, but I'm just telling you, the mercies of God are available. The compassion of the Lord is always there. And I'm going to tell you something. If you come to God and you have a heart for things to be right, I'm telling you, you got a Heavenly Father that welcomes you, that puts His arm around you and just says and tells you that He loves you, and He has already promised in His Word that He will help you. He's going to help you get it right. He's going to help you to get it. You say, "Well, what do you mean? What do you mean?" Well, I can remember a time when I can't go into this. Many of you have heard this story about me needing vehicles. I had a business, and I needed a vehicle to go fulfill some contracts, and went out to get a vehicle. I needed a vehicle. I mean, I needed it that day because I needed to go get. I had to travel to some other cities to fulfill the contracts, and so I had no money. But I did. I was smart enough to get up off the couch because I figured, you know, I need to go where the vehicles are. You know. There were no cheap vehicles in sight. Matter of fact, sticker shock everywhere, and so I'm confessing the word like a good word of faith Christian should. You know, my God supplies all my needs according to riches and glory of Christ Jesus. And about 2 hours into this, 3 hours into this, I don't know exactly when it happened. All of a sudden, I'm driving down the street. I've just been shocked one more time. And it just seems like I can't find any place, any deal. You know, anybody ever been there? Just seems like you can't find the solution for the immediate problem that you have. And I found myself with my emotions got the best. I mean, the thoughts just overwhelmed my mind. And I found myself crying out to God, not in faith, but emotionally. Help, God, I need help. Oh, God, I need help. How many of you know, it's admirable, I guess, that I cried out to God in one sense, and it's another thing, but it needs to be in faith, doesn't it? And so I heard myself do that, and I stopped myself. Marvin, stop it, stop it, stop it. You're a believer. And besides that, I said, you're a Rhema grad. So I went back to confessing the word. But how many of you know the battles are often fought in our minds? And the battle to keep seeking God instead of letting your mind take over. And I'm going down the road a couple more places. And all of a sudden, here it comes again. I'm having another emotional meltdown. Oh, God, I need help. Oh, God, God, I need help. Help, God, oh. And again, I grabbed myself, you know. And I can tell you that happened 4 or 5 times as we went around there. Having those emotional meltdowns in my car. And then getting back on track. I honestly wanted to do it right. I wish I could tell you I went out. Just believe the word, confess the word. The first place I came to, the Lord led me directly to it. And just got a vehicle and it all worked out. But it didn't. You know what I'm saying? That's not my story. My story is this, that in the middle of another, right at the end of another meltdown, the Lord spoke to me in a stern voice and told me, He said, 5 times, I've told you in my word that I've given you all things, and that includes a vehicle. I said, yes, Lord, I repent right now. I did. I said, I repent right now. I said, I see it. I see it. I see it. You've already done it. I said, now while I have your attention, where do I go to pick it up? And I'll tell you the truth about it. The next car dealer that we went to, we walked out of there, not with one car vehicle, but two. With credit that I never should have gotten in the first place. I had no credit. And I got it from a bank that never heard of me. Anyway, God is good. Amen. But the battle is this, that we seek God rather than worrying. Amen. So now let's last slide real quickly. Three areas that you can seek God in is to seek, and I'm going to use the words that the meanings of the words that we use in relation to seek, worship, plot, meditate, crave first God's word. Make it a priority. Why is that? Because it affects our communication. When you know the word, even if you're going down a wrong path, you can, by saying the wrong thing, you can get corrected. You can correct your communication, can't you? You know the right things to say. So communication is a big thing. Saying the right things, speaking the right things in the natural set way is true with God too. Is that we keep speaking words of faith. Amen. And so then also it says, seek, worship, plot, meditate on, crave God's ways. Let me give you an insight. Psalms 103 tells us this, that God showed his ways to Moses, but his acts to the children of Israel. In other words, here's the thing that I noticed, that the person that knew God's ways was the person that God used. They were a participator. And the ones who only knew of his acts or the things he did, but they said, how did he do that? Was that the Lord? Well, those are the people that get to watch. Sometimes they're recipients, but they're really not the people that God uses. We need to be knowledgeable of God's ways. Seek God's ways. Why? Because then we can be a blessing to the world. We can be the vessel that God uses. We can be the person that ministers life to the person that needs it. Amen. And then lastly, seek God's will. What does that mean? We would say it this way. Seek, worship, plot, meditate, crave first God's will. I'm amazed at the number of Christians that really don't make God's will priority. Being in the center of God's perfect will. And they're content to be in the kingdom of God, but they're kind of on the fringe. And I can tell you, as a person who grew up on the farm, you know, the cows that are out there in the pasture, you know, they stick their head through and eat out of the ditch, you know, because I guess they're just not content with that, with what they have in the pasture. Those cows are on the fringe. They're more susceptible to something that wants to come and get them or to attack them or something to happen to them than those that are in the middle of the pasture. And so we want to stay in God's perfect will. Amen. We want to be in the center of God's perfect will. That's the best place for us to be. I know people that do not seek God's will because they're afraid of where he might tell them to go. But I'm going to tell you something. Wherever God tells you to go, isn't that the best place to be? Isn't that where God can work with you the most? Isn't that where God can help you the most? Amen? Come on now. So we can say it this way. Seek God's word. Seek God's ways. Seek God's will. It will help you to make it through. It makes it where you don't have to worry. Why? It puts you in the, it gives you the knowledge that you need so that you can make it through difficulties in life. And so what does this mean to us then? To have faith in God instead of being in fear, to worship God rather than worrying about things. It means that we can meditate on God's righteousness and talk about his goodness rather than murmuring about all these difficult things that we're dealing with, why we don't have this and why don't we have that, and then end up blaming God for some of these things. You see, it's when you seek God. When you worship, you plot, you meditate, you crave God, his righteousness, his kingdom, everything that's in his kingdom. It's then that all these things shall be added unto you. Amen. So God is not against you having things, But listen to me, he did speak in his word on how to get those things. Amen. Stand to your feet. And so just as I had to go from worrying to getting into faith about getting a vehicle, listen to me. I can't tell you how many times that I've had opportunities to worry, how I've had opportunities to say, okay, what now, God? But as I went to his word, it put me into faith, and I didn't have to worry. God brought me through. How many of you got a testimony like that? God's brought you through some things. Amen. And we just thank God for that. If you're here tonight, and I'm just going to, a quick thing here tonight. If you are here tonight, you're dealing with disturbing thoughts that have tormented you, or you suffered from these things. You've tried to come and stand against these things, but they've just tormented you. How are you going to do this? How are you going to do this? Where am I going to get that? All of that. And it just keeps pounding in your mind. I want to pray for you. Those of you that are online that may be in that condition, if you're here tonight, you can raise your hand to the Lord and just let the Lord know, I'm ready to receive. I'm ready to be free from that. And we're going to pray for you right now in the name of Jesus. Are you ready? Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray right now for people who have been suffering from disturbing thoughts, fretful, anxious thinking, worrying, and Father, I declare that they be set free now in the name of Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, right now, your delivering power working in their lives right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Set them free, Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Now lift up both hands and just begin to thank him for his peace and for his comfort in Jesus' name. Thank you for it, Father. Thank you for helping people in the mighty name of Jesus. We give you praise now in Jesus' name. And I just feel led to say this. There's some of you that I would say this to, and that is this, that you need to, you can't walk free from worry and fear if you keep the news on all the time. I know that's really deep, but you'll get the understanding if you think about it. Okay? You just can't listen to the news all the time and expect to be free from worry. It's what you feed on. That helps you to think in the right way. That's why you need to seek God. That's why you need to meditate on. That's why you need to plot your course from the Word of God. That's why you need to crave God's presence, God's promises, God's power, so that you can make it through. You don't have to worry. You can live above those things. Amen? And so we thank God for you, and we believe God. Amen? Hallelujah. Well, I trust that this helped you. I'm going to... Hallelujah. One more thing. You may be watching. If you're here tonight and if you need... Let's bow our heads just a moment. If you're here tonight and you need to make Jesus Lord of your life, or you need to come back to the Lord... You've made Jesus Lord of your life, but stuff has happened and you've kind of drifted away, or something happened and you need to get right with God. And tonight, if you simply slip up your hand, if you're here or if you're watching, you can stretch your hand out towards the screen of the device that you're watching, the television or the device or computer or whatever it is you're watching. And let's just repeat this prayer after me. Heavenly Father, I come to you now. Forgive me of all my sin. I receive Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I believe he rose from the dead on the third day. And I believe that he is my Savior. He's my Redeemer. He's my Lord. I confess that in Jesus' name. Thank you for receiving me, Father, that you're my Heavenly Father, that I am now a member in the family of God, a child of God, and I thank you, Father, that you're helping me with everything else in life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, let one of these ushers know that you prayed that prayer. And just let us know. If you're watching online, then you can email partnerservice@rhema.org, and you can let them know, and we'll be glad to send you some literature, and that'll be a great thing. Just thank God that God has made a way. Amen. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad? This did not catch God by surprise. Amen. And we can put our trust in Him. Dean Tad is going to come and dismiss you. God bless you. Thank you for being here tonight. Have a great week.